word, what he has to say to us about this wonderful gift that he has given us, the Holy Spirit. And we are a couple of weeks into it. Before I forget, on the table as you leave, I've been trying to put together little discussion sheets as follow-up to the sermons. This can be for you and a friend. This could be for a group that gets together. And this could be for just you doing your own personal devotions, just kind of a follow-up, some follow-up questions based upon the points that I'm making in the sermon. One of the goals, I came to a revelation some time ago, and here it is. You ready for this? Listening to sermons does not change your life. It was a hard thing for me to come to grips with, you know, kind of sobering. But your life is only changed by God's Word is if you take it and do something with it. If you take it and meditate on the truths and then begin to let that sink into your heart and your mind and begin to ask God, now, God, what do you want me to do with this? So that's kind of what this discussion guide is at least an attempt to do that. So please grab one of those on your way out, and I'll try to remind you at the end. But we are talking about the Holy Spirit. The question of the morning is kind of this. Is God still speaking? And maybe a follow-up question is, if He is speaking, are we listening? What I have found is that a breakdown can potentially occur on either one of those questions. We wonder if God's speaking, or if He is speaking, we struggle sometimes. I struggle sometimes, I'll just tell you at the beginning of this message, I struggle sometimes mightily to listen to the voice of God. It's a tremendous struggle at times for me. I read a sobering statement from a book a while back, book on the Holy Spirit by an author by the name of Francis Chan. I quoted him last week. I want to quote him again. And just listen to this sobering statement. He says this, "If I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, my main strategy would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. For when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church, when it is living by the Spirit, cannot help but be transformed, and the world cannot help but take notice." So I would attack them in this area of the Holy Spirit and ignoring the Spirit. Last week we kind of finished our little beginning look at who the Holy Spirit is. And last week, just a short review, we talked about the reality that the Holy Spirit is not just some mystical force that, like in Star Wars or something. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the third member of the Trinity, of the Godhead. When the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father, that love that pours forth from the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father is the Spirit. And it is a person. It is the love and power of God. And so when Jesus left and He said, "I have to go to send another to you, I'm going to go and this is necessary, and you're going to do far greater things when the Spirit comes." And so basically what the Holy Spirit is that it is, as we said last time, and this is a theme I want you to stick in your head, the Holy Spirit is the power and presence of God in the life of a believer and in the life of a believing community, a church. And so we can correctly say that God is not far off and out there. He is right here. And He wants and desires and has made provision to do great things in our midst, in our individual lives and in our church life as a family together. Last time we talked about that some of the roles that the Holy Spirit has, some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a person, especially as a person is coming to faith in Christ, it is the Holy Spirit we looked at last time that convicts a person, brings them under conviction of their need for God and of their need for Christ, that they are separated from God, that we are by nature sinners, but that God has provided for our sin through Christ. Conviction about, wait a minute, this life is not all there is, but at the end, there is going to be a judgment. And that is actually ultimate reality. And he brings us under conviction about God's salvation through Jesus Christ. We learned last time that not only does the Holy Spirit convict, but the Holy Spirit actually births us spiritually. When you put your faith in Christ, you are born again. And the Scripture says when that happens, you are born of the Spirit. The Spirit takes your life and moves you positionally from death to life. The old is gone and the new has come. You are a new creation with a new heart that is full of the Spirit. And the Spirit, as Scripture says, indwells, lives in the life, in the heart of every believer. That's why I say the Spirit is the power and presence of God in our lives. He lives in us. We are all baptized or initiated into one body. And the thing that we have in common is greater than anything that might separate us. And that is that we have the Spirit of God in us. That is the Spirit of unity. That is the Spirit of love. That is the Spirit of transformation in our lives, of what God wants to do. And so the Spirit is at work. But this morning, I want to kind of launch into this question of how do we hear the voice of God? How do we grab a hold of the words of God speaking to us through His Spirit? I don't know about you, but I sometimes find myself longing to kind of hear the Word of God or have God speak to me. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit today. I oftentimes talk about Christianity and salvation as an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Are you comfortable with that? Do you believe that our religion that we follow, Christianity, is really about a relationship? And if I understand healthy relationships, and I at least do in theory, my wife might argue otherwise, but it's about communication, right? A relationship is about, if two people are in a relationship and it's a good relationship, then probably there is two-way mutual communication going on. So if we're going to take this seriously, that this is about a relationship, then we got to think about, well then, okay, I know that I talk to God, or at least sometimes I talk to God. We call that prayer. We did a whole series on talking to God through prayer, connecting with God through prayer a while back. But this is kind of the other direction. What about God talking to us? That's a little bit more abstract and kind of hard to get our hands on. Because He doesn't sit in a chair across from us and speak audible words to us. At least that hasn't been my experience. And so it's a little harder to get our hands around. I have to make a confession at the beginning of this message today. I really struggle with this whole concept because whenever somebody comes to me and they tell me that God has spoken to them, I am a skeptic by nature. And I'm a skeptic for good reason, because I have seen this abused so many times. People telling me that God spoke to them And then when they tell me what God said to them, I look at them and I say, as a pastor who knows the Word of God at least somewhat, God didn't say that to you, because that actually contradicts what God's Word says. And so God wouldn't tell you something like, you know, kind of subjectively to your heart that contradicts what's in His Word. I had a guy tell me one time that God told him that he had married the wrong woman, and that he was going to leave his wife and children to go marry this other woman. I said, you know, I don't think that was God. Somebody's talking to you, but it isn't God. You know, here's the truth. Did you know that insane asylums are full of people who hear the voice of God all the time? So there is an extreme that makes me real cautious. Plus, you know how it goes. You're in a conversation, and when somebody pulls out, this is like the trump card. Well, God spoke to me. Oh, well, I guess that's the end of the conversation then. I mean, how am I going to argue with that? And so we want so badly, I think, to have the endorsement of God in whatever we do, that sometimes we just kind of conjure up that this thought that entered my mind must have been God, because I want to do it so bad. And if I put the God told me, then nobody will be able to, you know, argue with me about it, because then they're arguing with God. So you sense I'm a little skeptical. Maybe you wrestle with some of that too. But I do believe ultimately that God is still speaking. And let's talk about how we can hear the voice of God. I want to give you three prerequisites and three ways that God speaks. So the prerequisites, that's kind of a big fancy word. You know what prerequisites are. I can't even say it this morning. I'm speaking in tongues already. Prerequisites are requirements, things that have to be met. There's things that we have to do to get ourselves ready and prepared to hear the voice of God speaking to us through the Spirit. Things that if we don't do, I can promise you, you will not hear from God. Okay? So let's kind of walk through these together real quick, and then we'll look at the actual ways that I think God primarily speaks through His Spirit. Three words that I'm going to give you, and then I'll give you a brief explanation of prerequisites. The first one is alignment. Alignment. What do I mean by alignment? Well, see, I believe that we as Christians have everything turned upside down on its head. And until we get it turned back around the right way, rightly aligned, we are not going to hear from God. And here's what I mean by that. We think that we are God, and that God is our servant. We think God is here to serve us, and we have that backwards. The typical Christian thinks that the purpose of the church and the purpose of God is to meet their needs. That's wrong. Did you know that's wrong? The purpose of God in our relationship with God is for us to serve His purposes. Now, the beauty of that is, if we will serve His purposes, it will meet our ultimate needs. But we have it all turned around. I gave you an illustration a long time ago. I kind of want to bring it back to you today. It's kind of like this. I'll give you a visual here. It's like, and this is from an old Campus Crusade for Christ tract that I saw when I was in college. But it's like this. It's like, this is the throne, right? This is the throne of my life. And here's how most of us do the Christian life. I'm on the throne, meaning I'm in control of my own life. I determine what I do. I'm in charge. And there's Jesus. There's the cross. And He's there to help me with the things that I need. He's there to serve me. And that's wrong. And so if you want to hear the voice of God, the first thing that has to happen is you've got to get off the throne. Christ has to be on the throne. And you have to come low before God. And you have to surrender And you have to bring your life before the cross. And you have to say, God, because of your love, because of who you are, because of your great sacrifice, my life belongs to you. And I'm coming to you now in this relationship, not to make demands upon you, not to have you help me fulfill my agenda, whatever that is. I'm coming, Lord, because I am purchased with the price of your blood, and my life now belongs to you. And so I'm here to serve your purposes. I'll tell you what, if you will surrender your life to the Lordship of Christ, it'll clean your ears out spiritually, and you'll begin to be prepared to hear God speaking to you, because now you're coming to Him on His terms. Alignment. I heard a wonderful testimony a few years ago. My Uncle Mike passed away about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. He was a man that I wasn't super close to. We didn't live close to each other. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And you know how that goes sometimes. And it went quickly. And about less than a year later, he passed away. And I went down to Kentucky to his funeral. And something very interesting. He gave his own eulogy. When he first got diagnosed, he went to a room by himself and he recorded himself. And that was the eulogy that they played at the funeral. And I heard his story, stuff I had never really known about my uncle. And here's kind of the essence of it. He grew up in a Christian home. And he made a profession of faith in Christ when he was a little boy, as many of us who grow up in the church do. And he kind of, you know, learned some Christian principles along the way, and he kind of knew the basics. But his philosophy that kind of he developed in his heart was everything's okay in moderation. That's what he said on his testimony. And so he kind of started to indulge in a little of this and a little of that party action. And after he got out of high school, he joined the Navy, and he got with the guys, and you know, there's a lot of partying going on and all of that, and he just joined right in. He didn't see any kind of conflict between his faith and the things he was doing that was probably not real pleasing to God. And one day something happened. He got in a conversation, and somebody found out he used to go to church, and he started to try to witness to a fellow soldier there in the outfit, and the guy laughed in his face. And the guy said, "Mike, you're the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen. You carouse and party with the guys and just like, you know, join right in. And now you're telling me you're a Christian? No way." He said that sparked a movement in his life. And over the next few years, that just kept coming back to him. And you know what he did? He slowly got off the throne of his life. And he got Jesus up there on the throne where he belonged. And he committed himself to an intensive... He got in a couple of Bible study programs. And he began to learn the Word and commit himself to the Word. And he began to grow in his faith. His son is a pastor, and he and his wife in his later years retired, and they moved to where the son lived in Kentucky, and they were part of this little church that they were pastoring. And I know that my uncle, he was a financial planner. That's what he did for a living. And he began, there were a lot of young couples in this church, and he just began to mentor them. And he would do some financial planning classes, but he would share with them, you know, kind of what he had learned about the Christian life. And he just developed kind of a mentoring relationship with these young couples. And at the funeral, there were all these couples that had been touched by his life because he was serving the Lord. He had got himself aligned with God's purposes. He had put Jesus, he had put Jesus where he rightfully is, and that was on the throne of his life. Where are you at in this regard? Second word, if we want to hear the voice of God, requirement, prerequisite is expectation. And all I mean by that is many of us go through the Christian life and we don't even expect to hear God speak to us. We have no expectation of God speaking to us. And I'm saying if you don't plan on it, if you don't believe God is, that is His purpose, that He wants to guide your life and speak to your heart, you're not going to hear His voice. I've gone through many seasons of life where I had no expectation to hear from God. Even I'm doing my devotions each day, but no expectation really to hear from God. It's just kind of a funny thing that happens, a tragic thing that happens. We need to raise our expectation, belief that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that God is active in our lives and He wants to guide us and lead us. Jesus said, His sheep, remember this verse? Hear His voice. His sheep hear His voice. Third word, prerequisite to hearing the voice of God is understanding. Understanding. There's something we have to understand. The Holy Spirit isn't going to just speak anything to you, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is in perfect unity with the Father and the Son. And so our understanding is this, that the Holy Spirit is only going to tell us things from the Father and from the Son. That's what Jesus said. Remember that? He said, I'm going to go away and another is going to come and He is going to tell you, He's going to teach you all the things that I have said. So the Holy Spirit isn't some rebel that's out doing His own thing. The whole job of the Holy Spirit is to point us to the Father and to the Son and to remind us and to teach us the things of Christ and of salvation and of spiritual growth. So we have to have an understanding that the Holy Spirit isn't going to tell somebody to leave his wife and children and go marry somebody else. That would be contradictory to the Word of God. It's ridiculous. So we can measure what we say we're hearing from the Spirit with the Word of God. It better match. It better be in alignment there. So that's the key. Listen to this description in 1 Corinthians 2 of how this works. This is kind of a lengthy passage, but just kind of let it sink in as I read it. I'm going to start in the middle of verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2. I know that's hard to read up there. If you can't read it, I can't read it from here. but just listen to these words. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit, the unsaved person, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so the picture here, is, if I can simplify it, is that God, God's a pretty deep being. He's not simple to figure out, is he? But it says here that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, searches the deep truths, the deep realities of God. And then the Spirit comes to us and teaches us and speaks to our hearts about these deep truths and realities about God. From the Spirit of God to our spirit, to our heart, to our minds. And this is how it works. He reveals God to us. As we pray and as we dig into the Word, the Holy Spirit brings it alive and makes it alive to us. Okay, so those are some of the prerequisites. Now, just a couple of minutes, let's look at how God actually speaks. I think there's three ways that I have experienced, and as I've studied this and talked to others and read about this, that there seems to be like some categories that open up to us. And I don't think this will be surprising to you, but three ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. The first one is this: He speaks through His Word, through the Word, through the Scriptures. He takes the words of Christ. He takes the words that He revealed to the apostles that wrote them down, and that makes up our New Testament in particular. And He speaks to us as we open the Word of God and begin to read it and meditate on it and study it. Here's what happens. Something supernatural begins to happen. The Holy Spirit takes those words of God and makes them alive to us, convicts us about it, what we're reading. Listen to this from 2 Peter chapter 1. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were what? Carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that took Paul and Peter and John and all those that wrote down what makes up our Scripture. And those words are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so as Christians, as we sit down and we read God's Word, He makes that alive to us. He gives us an ability to understand it. And He gives us an ability to not only understand what it means, but to live it and to apply it to our lives. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite writers and pastors is a guy named Tony Evans. He says this. Listen to these words. He says, "The Holy Spirit has been given to every Christian and every church family of God, listen to this, to make real in your own spiritual experience everything the Bible says. The job of the Holy Spirit is to lift these truths off the pages of Scriptures and to write them on our hearts, making it alive, making it vivid. That means leading you into a whole new realm of existence. It means experiencing the supernatural power of God in your life. The job of the Holy Spirit is to take the Scriptures as you study it and meditate on it and read it and make it alive in your life." I hope you've had this experience somewhere along the way where you're reading the Word of God and you feel and sense the Spirit convicting you about something, teaching you something, like those aha moments. Oh, I finally understand what that means. Or, oh, I'm reading this and I feel convicted about something I need to go and do as a result of what I'm reading here. That's the Holy Spirit stirring and making the Word of God come alive to us. That's the first way. That's why we spend so much time in here opening up God's Word and teaching God's Word, trusting that, you know, when I preach, when I talk, when I teach, my prayer and what I pray when I'm driving here each week is, God, I'm going to say words and I'm going to try to explain your word, but your Holy Spirit, my prayer, God, is that your Holy Spirit would take that and bring understanding and help people to come, help the word come alive to people's hearts. Because I can't make that happen. The Spirit must work for that to happen. That's the first way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Second way is this: the Holy Spirit speaks to us through other believers. Through other believers. See, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and I have the Holy Spirit in me. And when we get down to talking about spiritual things and the Christian life and what's really going on in life, and you speak to me, and God is speaking through you, then the Holy Spirit is at work. I hope you've experienced this. Have you ever had a time where you feel like you're struggling with something and a brother or sister, you know, comes alongside of you and you begin to talk it through, and maybe they bring up a scripture or a spiritual principle or something that is helpful, and they pray for you and it helps you gain understanding and it helps you be able to move forward. That's the Holy Spirit at work speaking to you, speaking to your heart. I have experienced this with my wife. I believe God speaks to me powerfully through my wife. I go through a season. I've had some seasons in the last few years, I'll just be honest with you, some real seasons of discouragement where I get low. And it feels like God's way out there. And it feels like I can't hear the God speaking to me, and God just uses that woman to speak encouragement to my heart. And sometimes she'll remind me of God's promises and His Word, and it's the Spirit is speaking through her as she is trying to point me towards God and towards faith. We can do that for one another. That's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. We sharpen each other. We build each other up. Scripture says to encourage one another, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to bear with one another's burdens, to speak to one another spiritual words, not to tear each other down, but to build each other up. And when we do that, it is the Spirit. It is as if God is speaking through us to that other person. I encourage you, man, get past the superficial conversations and talk about what's going on in your life and encourage one another with spiritual truth and point each other to God, not in a holier-than-thou way, but in a I'm coming alongside you kind of a way. And that's when the Spirit does His work through us. And then the final way that God speaks to us today through His Spirit is when His Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience. This is a more of a private, personal thing. This is what sometimes we refer to as the still small voice or the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives, where we just feel convicted about something that we've read in the Word or that we know is in the Word. We feel convicted of a sin that's in our lives, and we feel guilty and we feel like we're broken over it. That's the Spirit prompting us. Maybe it's something just that you're sitting there and the Spirit prompts you to go talk to somebody. You need to go talk to that person. You don't know why, but you just feel moved that you need to go talk to that person. And you go and you talk to that person and you find out, again, that they're struggling or that they're in need. And God has moved you to go and be a part of the answer, His answer to that. Sometimes the Spirit works in those kinds of ways. Maybe you feel stirred about somebody that's struggling and you go to them and you find out that they're struggling with a sin problem or a sin struggle, and God has sent you to rescue them, to speak truth into their life. The Holy Spirit, that's how He sometimes prompts us and speaks to our hearts. Super Bowl Sunday. Can you imagine this? About an hour before the game, our TV screen goes blank. Oh! The satellite dish, which is up on the roof. You remember that Sunday? I don't think we had church that Sunday, did we? Right. It was snowing. And the eye that receives the signal got covered. And my signal was gone. Same thing happened? Yeah? Yeah, so I sent my wife out. No, I didn't really. But I had to climb up on a ladder and get the broom and sweep it off. And then we got the signal back. And watch that crazy game. Bruce is a Seattle fan. I don't want any weeping and anyway. Just go on. Keep moving. Here's the deal. Here's the point. Gnashing of teeth. Yeah, I forgot that part. Sometimes the reason we don't hear the Spirit is because our spirits are covered over. There's something blocking, if you will, the connection with God. And here's what I've learned along the way. It's not God who is moved. It's not God who's got His arms folded and saying, I'm playing games with you and I'm only, you know. It's us. If we're struggling here, it's probably because we've allowed something to you know, maybe it's a sin struggle that's going on. It can be pride, it could be selfishness, it could be how that is with sin. But pray about it. It could be busyness that we just haven't taken the time to really listen. We've been so busy, we never get alone with God and just pray. It could be that we haven't been in the Word. If He primarily speaks to us through the Word and we're never in the Word and we don't ever take time to, you know, read and meditate on God's Word, how are we going to hear from God's Spirit? Maybe it's that image right there where you just need to get Christ back on the throne of your life. You need to be resurrendered to God afresh. I switch places on that chair with Christ quite often. Every time I get off for a little bit, I find myself getting back up there. And I have to resurrender. God, I need You. I need to give control back over to You. And as we do this, He will speak to us. And then one last word I have on your outline there that I kind of added at the last minute that just kind of came to me. One final word to God's children. Obey. O-B-E-Y. Obey. Maybe God's not speaking to you right now because you haven't obeyed the last thing He told you to do. See, there's a thing that happens when we begin to obey what God tells us to do, when we begin to respond to what He's saying. It's like it opens up the floodgates and He continues to reveal. But when we disobey, or when we hear Him but we don't act on it, then that communication kind of dries up. And so one of the keys I have found is obedience. Jesus said this, whoever has My commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves Me. You want to show your love for Christ? It's more than just talking about it. It's more than just singing about it. It's taking His truth and living it. And when we do that, we invite more of His communication to us, more of the Spirit's work in our lives. So this is the journey that we're on, and I hope that you can take some of these truths and just take them this week and begin to live them out. Let's pray together. Father God, your Spirit lives inside of us and is there for a purpose to reveal your truth to us and to speak to our hearts from your heart. And he does that, your Spirit does that through the Word as we interact with your Word. He makes it come alive to us. He convicts us through it. Lord, sometimes your Spirit just speaks to our conscience and prompts us to go and talk to that person over there or to confess some sin that we're just struggling with and finally come to the end of that. And Lord, for some of us this morning, the real struggle is that we're trying to control our own lives. We're up on the throne. And maybe the first thing that we need to do to really get that communication opened up is we need to crawl off that throne. We need to give up that control. We need to recognize that Christ belongs on the throne. He is in charge of my life now. He has purposes for me that he wants me to live in. And our job is to surrender that and obey and follow. God, as we do that, we know that your Spirit will guide us and speak to us and empower us in all of the Christian journey that you have for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.